The men are passing out a paper for this morning's sermon, and if you did not get a copy of this, I emailed it to you yesterday. We need your email, so if you would put it in the office drop box over there, we would love to have a record of your email so we can send you out things. Last week we put up a big thing about how we got the Bible, and it's pretty neat to just sit and think about the neatness of that and realize, wow, we have the book of books. And it's neat to say that and to realize from Moses, from God to Moses to Paul to us today. Is that right? And I trust that you know that the book you have in your hand is the same Old Testament that Jesus had. And the New Testament that you have is the same New Testament that the early church had. Amen? And then the printing of it. Do you know there was a time when there was no written scripture? No written scripture. Many years. Dreams, visions. You say, boy, I'd like to be. No, we have it better. We have it better. And then there was many years all the way from Moses all the way to 1436. There was no printed copies. And last week I made you all write your hand copy. Had one person say, I'm glad nobody got mine. You couldn't even read it. Okay. And I just wanted you to catch that it's the hand copies. To have a Bible yourself in those days, you had to copy it yourself. Think about it. And to realize that we have the Bible in English and it's printed. And last week I had all the Bibles up here. We have so much, and yet we don't read it enough. And the Bible in personal people's possessions only started about, 17th century and all that. And you realize, wow. And it's just been in the last 200-300 years that Bibles have been available for people. And you got a couple of them. All I'm going to say is, it's the book of God. Amen. Eat it up. Eat it up. And that is so important to realize that, wow, that's tremendous to have the supernatural God book that we have. And we have 2 Peter here. Put 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We've already read it, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. The Old Testament gave it. Jesus lived it. And then Peter here is writing it. And we have a more sure word of prophecy. You have better Bible than John the Baptist had. Huh? You have better Bible than the early church had. You have a personal copy. I hope you'd never get over that. This morning, we are coming from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And we're going to read of this, of the time where Jesus was on the Emmaus Road, starting with verse 13. We're going to be reading that and to realize the Bible came alive to them. And it was wonderful to catch that and to be real. Everybody, Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And come and read it for us there, Steve.
If you need a Bible, there's a red one provided in the section there in front of you. And if you would turn to page 777, how about that? God's perfect number, three times in a row, 777. We're going to be reading Luke 24. We're going to start in verse 13, and then we're going to skip a couple of verses, and then we'll pick it back up later. So if you would turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Luke 24, 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 miles. in verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are to come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trust that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now skip down to verse 25 with me, please. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. If you would, skip down to verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way, and while he opened up the scriptures to us? I didn't read that exactly right, but and he opened us the scriptures. May God bless the reading of his word.
Here, Jesus opened the scriptures to them, the holy writings, the Old Testament, and he realized that, man, this is something to see what God is doing. And we have a book written by God. God wrote a book, and it is heaven's supernatural gift for earth. And it's neat to grasp that we are Bible people. We are people of the book. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 is our key verse, and I want you to just keep looking at that. Put it up there, and to realize that this is our verse. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Everybody take out your paper. Everybody take out your paper. I'm going to just flow through it, overview it a little bit. I want you to realize last Sunday we learned that the Bible we have is the one that Jesus had the Old Testament, the early church had the New Testament, and they translated it all, and we have it in English today, and we have the Word of God with us today. That deserves an amen.
Amen.
Or an A-woman, you know. We have the Word of God, and it is something. Is it the supernatural book? It is God's book. How do I know that God wrote it? How do I know that what's written in it is the Word of God? That's the next question. And you need to have that answered. And it's very important that we get this, and I've tried to summarize it a little bit. The first paragraph on top of your page. First paragraph. I have them numbered. Each paragraph's numbered. We are, what's in the red there? We are what? We are what? Bible Christians. If someone asks you, well, what are you? I am a biblical Christian. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus according to the Bible. I'm not a follower of Jesus according to some church or some denomination or some great preacher, whatever. I'm a follower of Jesus according to this old book. And it's Jesus in the book. And it's tremendous there. It says, which means we follow the Bible's record of Jesus Christ and his truth teachings. Our spiritual way of life is simple. It is nothing more and nothing less than following Jesus Christ according to the Bible. We believe God wrote the Bible to reveal Himself, His Son Jesus Christ, and the truth about the universe and His true teachings and everything. Catch this. We need to know to live meaningful and purposeful lives in this world and in the world to come. Amen? We're Bible people, and it's so, so important. Note the second paragraph. We do not base our Christianity on religious tradition or church tradition, a human religious leader, history, church creeds, a national religion, a denominational dictates, popular opinion, personal preferences, or culture. Does that cover everything? We're about the Bible or anything else. We cannot call ourselves Christians without establishing the authority of the Bible. For it is only in the Bible that we learn about the God-man Jesus Christ and the divine teachings that we love, observe, obey in a New Testament church. Catch this word here. It's pretty neat. Apart from the Bible, we have no true knowledge of Jesus Christ or understanding of the proper worship of God. For we are truly bound by this written revelation from God for all we know and do in life as we serve and worship Jesus Christ. Now, I could just stop right there. That's who we are. And that's what we believe. And we have a Bible. We have it. It's here. And it was the same Bible of the Jesus day and the same Bible of the early church day. And we have it in English. We have it in many translations of English. It's wonderful. And God has communicated. The third paragraph there is He communicated. And He's communicated in writing. Yeah. Aren't you glad you can check up on it and cross-reference it and read it here and read it there? And now we have it on our phones and on our tablets and everything. It's everywhere. And we should be the greatest Bible people of all of human history. We have so much Bible available to us. And it is amazing. The Bible is the book that has been printed the most. The Bible is the book that has been hated the most. The Bible has been a book that has been written about the most. It's been written to date into 2,500 languages. 90% of the world's population has a Bible. And that's wild. It has been hated. It has been banned in history. It has been burned. People burned for it. It's been outlawed, attacked. It's been... It's so documented. We have over 5,000 Greek manuscripts. It is trustworthy. It's the book of God. And it's wonderful there. And just to realize that that is so important, the first purple statement, I'm flying through this, is that the Bible itself claims to be the Word of God. All other religions, they do not, their books do not claim to be the Word of God. The Bible claims many, many places. Over 3,000 places that the Bible says God said this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The God of Moses spoke. I love these verses here. Let's read them together. It looks at them. Luke 24:32, we've read already. And it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us what? The scriptures, God's book. 1 Corinthians 14:32-37, it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the thing that I write, Paul's writing, unto you are the commandments of the... Wow. Ephesians 3:4-5, it says, How that by revelation, God speaking to Paul, he made known unto me, Paul, the mystery, how that the Gentiles could get saved, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, that's our job, ye may understand, that's why you read, my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, how he's the Savior of the world, which in other ages, Old Testament, was not made known unto the sons of men, but as it is now revealed, Paul's writing it, now revealed, New Testament, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the Word of God. The last one there, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, great verse. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, we spoke it, ye received it not as the word of who? Men. But, catch this is very important, but as it is in truth, okay, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's what we're going to hit next week. It's alive, is that right? It works, and it changes you, and it's better for you, and it's wonderful, but it is of truth the word of God, period. And it claims to be that. Paragraph number 8, it says over 3,000 times in the Bible it claims to be the word of God. Paragraph number 9 says that the other religions of the world, their holy books, do not claim to be the word of God. It's only the Bible that says this is the word of God. There's one bumper sticker I hate. This is it. Put it up. How many of y'all see this? This is the worst bumper sticker ever created. And it says coexist. And it has the different world religions and their symbols to come together in the COEX or whatever. And it's Islam, Buddhism, science, Judaism, paganism, Wiccan, and Christianity. I want you to know there's only one true religion. There's only one true Bible. There's only one true faith. There's only one true book. And it's the book of God. And we do not coexist. The Bible says, Jesus himself says, I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only. And no man cometh the Father but by Jesus. And we're not coexisting. We're not gathering together either. And the Bible says it's the word of God. All the others are the words of men. Yes, they're religions, but only Jesus is life, and only Jesus is truth, and all of this coexistence. No, they're opposite, they're contradictory, they're against one another. Truth is truth. Jesus is, either you have Jesus and him only, or you have nothing. And it's very important that we do not coexist. All ways don't lead there. Somehow they'll get there. We do not coexist. That is something that you need to understand. If you don't understand this symbol, look up, just put coexist in your computer and punch it. And they're all one worldism, one world religion. We're all the same. I don't even like a Judeo-Christian. Judeo-Christian means that the Christians and the Jews agree on a certain part of the Bible, and that part of the Bible is what? The Old Testament, okay? And it doesn't say that we can have the New Testament. So since we agree on the Old Testament, let's just follow the Old Testament. No, we got the New Testament. The Jews do not like the New Testament at all. And the next one's going to come out. It's going to be the Judeo-Christian Islam, okay? And the Islam, some of the stuff in the Bible is in the Islamic Bible, the Quran. But oh, so much is left out. And if we could agree on the things that we agree on, my, he did not, when Muhammad wrote the Quran, he did not agree that any miracles happened. He couldn't agree in so many things. He just took the stuff out and he kept in some things. And he hated that the Jews were favored in the Bible, and he made the Arabs favored in the book of Quran. and He changed everything. And we don't need to realize it. I want you to know there's only one Jesus, there's only one Bible, and there's only one way to heaven. And that is very important that we do not lighten up on that area. On paragraph number 10, look at your paper there. The Bible, we know that we have the Word of God because of the meticulous, miraculous unity of the Bible. Written over, you can put the next slide up. Written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors. Just if you have a wreck and you have three people see the same wreck, would we have three different stories? My goodness, yes. And we have 40 different authors viewing. We don't have their views. You know, we hear from them and their personalities written in it, but it's not their opinion, it's not their views, it's from God. And it's so important to realize it's one book. It's not 66 books. How can you get 66 books written over a period of 1,500 years to have one theme? You know, it's a miracle book. It's unity, and you realize, wow, this is amazing. The Old Testament and the New Testament, you realize this is an amazing book. It's one book about the unfolding story of salvation to mankind through Jesus, and all of the units of the Bible need each other. Is that right? And it's pretty neat, the cross-referencing of the Bible. It's a beautiful book. It screams out that says, this is divine inspiration. And it's amazing. The Old Testament is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. Amen? One book, 66 books, but one book, 40 authors, 1,500 years being written, and it's miraculously flows together. Amen? And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a God book. Secondly is archaeology. Archaeology meant a lot in the 20th century. Here in the 21st century, they're trying to disprove the Bible. They go out to disprove the Bible every time, and they prove it. I'm going to let you read all of these things. In paragraph 11, it's just they're trying to say Abraham never existed, Sodom and Gomorrah never existed, but they found these different tablets that said they do. And in number 12, David never existed, but they found a tablet that says he really lived of the house of David there. They're saying it's full of errors, but no, it's very trustworthy. The 13th paragraph says that Ramsey said that Luke was a terrible historian, that Sergius Paulus never lived, and they found that it was. Look at the last three lines of paragraph 13. It says, thus Ramsey, who began his excavations to prove Luke to be untrustworthy, concluded after years of study that Luke's history is unsurpassed in respect to its trustworthiness, and Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements a fact trustworthy, this author should be placed among with the very world's greatest historians. Huh? You go, wow. Paragraph number 14. They tried to get contradictions in the Bible. Not only errors in the Bible, it's full of errors, full of contradictions. And they stated there was two Jerichos. And how can there be two Jerichos? And then they found out that Mark had a Jewish Jericho, and Paul had a Jericho from Rome, or Luke did. And you realize God doesn't make mistakes. And all paragraph number 15, the religions of the world, there's so many inaccuracies. There's so many contradictions. The Book of Mormon is so many contradictions and so many inaccuracy and so many untruths. It's amazing. Look at paragraph number 16. Knowing all of these archaeological discoveries, the renowned Jewish archaeologist said, it may be stated categorically that no archaeology discovery has ever controverted a biblical passage. Scores of archaeological finds have been made which confirm in clear outline or exact detail the historical statements of the Bible. Amen? It is neat to realize they went out to disprove it, but they proved it. The next section, paragraph 17, is about science, that science has disproved the Bible. But science has proved the Bible. And paragraph number 18, all the statements in the Bible about the stars, the statement in the Bible that the earth is round. Do you know the Bible says the earth is round? The circular of the earth. And it's wonderful there. I gave you all of these. The earth hangs on nothing, gravity, and the water cycle, how it all that there's only all kinds of animals, and they're of their own kind, and then there's one blood of man. And with all of the science, it's accurate. When the Bible makes a statement on science, it's accurate. And it's a miracle book written so many years ago. And then lastly here, of the prophecies of being fulfilled. I want you just to read paragraph number 20 and to realize when the prophets made statements, and paragraph number 21 of the time and place and response of the Jews and the execution, the way of execution of Jesus. There's 61 major prophecies about Jesus. And to get all of them fulfilled is like putting silver dollars in the state of Texas 2 feet high and putting a red dot on one of them and blindfolding a guy and say, go find it. And you know, it's impossible that all of these prophecies about Jesus were fulfilled by one man all through the Old Testament. It's miraculous, miraculous. And it just sets the Bible up. And when the Bible says all the prophecies, check them out. Don't be a person that takes second fiddle and say, well, the Bible's full of all errors and all controversies and inaccuracies. You need to say, oh, give him your Bible and say, show me one. Show me one. And that proves that it is a book that is miraculous and it's amazing. And all the world's religious books, the prophecies are like Nostradamus. They're so general that it really doesn't say anything unless you want it to say something. And it's so sad. In the box at the bottom of the page, So with all the evidence that God wrote a book, when someone says that the Bible is full of errors and contradictions, confidently respond, show me one. God has gone to great lengths to show us in writing a book that He has a divine message for us. He did this because He loves each of us and because He wants us to personally understand His purpose for writing. Amen? And to realize, when the guys were on the way to Emmaus here in Luke 24, Jesus was speaking, and it says that while He was speaking, the words from Jesus just burned in their heart and brought it alive as He spoke to them the Scriptures. And I want you to know, we have the Scriptures. God's book, God book, supernatural book. You can trust it and you can realize that it came from God. And we can just let it just change our lives, as I'm going to speak on next Sunday, and to have a hunger and thirst. The book was found in the Old Testament, and I did eat it, it says, and it became the joy of living. Huh? The book of books. And let it just burn in your heart. Open up your heart with cleansing and with conviction and comfort, giving you peace, purpose, and joy. And you realize, the book of books, God's book. Teenagers, read it. It's the book of God. Most precious thing you have, most miraculous thing we have on this earth is the Bible. And we have it from God, and it is the book that God wrote, and it is a God book, and it is divine, it is from God, and we have it in English, and it's wonderful. I hope you eat it up this week. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you in your Bible reading? Do you love your Bible? Do you learn from it? Do you love it? Do you live it? I want to give you a hunger for the Bible. You know, it's getting close to noon here, and some of your bellies may be growling for lunch. We need to have bellies growling for God's Word every day just as much, and to let it come alive, because the Bible presents a Savior and a sinners that need a Savior, and people need the Lord. And if you devour the Bible, you'll be able to live it before people, share it with people, and let them see that Jesus can change their lives, because it is the book of life. It is the God book. It is the book that God wrote. Read it, love it, live it, learn it. How many say, preacher, I'm going to be in my Bible more, loving my Bible more, making my Bible a major part of my everyday living? Thank you for this message. How many? How many? How many? How many? Make it come alive. Make it come alive. Lord Jesus, change our lives because we have a Bible that is the book of God. It is inspired. It is written by God Himself through holy men, and we have it today. And Lord, help us to know for sure and just go all out in knowing it and then giving it away. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.